I had all of these choices in front of me. And he just said, you know what, Kathy, you're the type of person who needs to be in an environment that's extremely fast-paced, challenging, shifting and moving, and what you did yesterday is out of date the minute you like open your eyes the next morning. He says, what do you want to market? Do you want to market technology or like soup?
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Toronto, Canada, at an amazing innovative space called Workplace One. I am loving it here, and I get to celebrate Kathy. Hello, Kathy. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I'm excited that this can happen. Thank you for being so patient. And okay, so first, formally, tell everybody your name and then who you are.
Right. My name's Kathy Piller, and I'm the CEO of EdTech startup called Ametros Learning.
And when did you first get involved in EdTech?
Oh, that's a good question. I've spent my entire career in technology to one degree or another. EdTech happened after I sort of finished my life in the corporate world.
Right.
And I went out into the consulting side of things, as most people do, who when they hang up their corporate shingle, they think they should tell everybody else what to do and they consult. Anyways, I got involved with a very cool EdTech company
right.
in Waterloo called Desire to Learn, and I spent 9 months working for them, and it was such a great experience. I got fascinated with the education industry and certainly how technology could help transform it.
And what did your company do?
It's a complicated thing. Essentially, what we do as an organization is we have built an intelligent, meaning AI-based, simulation platforms for teaching what we would call skills development. So what we basically do is whatever you can teach, we can simulate. So we put students and learners in real-life situations. They interface with artificially intelligent characters and narratives that align with any kind of professional practice, whether it's
right.
business or law or nursing. And we make those characters like real people. They're difficult. They can be oversharers.
Do I want more of those real people in my life?
Actually, you want them because it's what we do is we create a safe place
yeah.
to learn and make mistakes as you learn to develop those human skills. So
That's
emotional
so cool.
intelligence, social intelligence, cognitive intelligence.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, is this a tool that could help me become a better manager? Or
Absolutely.
Who's the target audience?
Well, we started off in education purposefully. My partner and product visionary is a professor of communication at Ryerson University, and that's where we began. We spent a year in our commercial operation focusing in that space and you know basically working out the technology, proving the pedagogy. And then we made a purposeful decision this summer to move into the corporate space.
Right.
We are developing a simulation right now for our first corporate client, which is to train first-time managers on how to be better managers.
Wait,
how
so
to,
I hit it right?
Totally, you hit the nail on the head.
It's hard. It is hard. I mean, hello, team, as you're listening. It is hard to communicate with your team and so many different personalities and knowing how to make sure each person feels valued in their own way that they need to feel valued, because what works for me doesn't necessarily work for the next guy. And it's my responsibility as a manager to understand how to best communicate with each person and their personalities in order to have that consequence of them feeling like this is a great place to work.
Absolutely. And the reason why that's so important is it's not just understanding them, it's understanding and being very self-aware of your own work style.
Yeah.
And being able to say, okay, if I'm this kind of work style and I have these four people who work
right.
for me and they're different, how do I, 100%. As a manager, you know, understand and empathize on both of those sides, and how do I help them understand and empathize with me? Because you're bringing people up at the same time.
Yeah.
And this is what we simulate.
It's so hard. I mean, for those of you, and I know it's most of you that already work in a professional environment or have already founded your company, you know how hard it is. For those of you who are utilizing the Women in Tech podcast to like kind of think about how can I enter into this world, human resources is one of the hardest challenges to overcome. It's just so variable. You're dealing with human beings. And so kind of walk me through the experience on how I would utilize your tool in order to become a more efficient communicator.
So right now our path to market is with corporate customers directly or other corporate training organizations that manage a relationship with existing
right.
customers, or in the education space. So we're in higher education as well.
Right.
And integrating our simulations into existing course curriculum.
Right.
So if for example, you know, you worked for financial institution X and they wanted to create a simulation to augment their onboarding program for first-time employees in their organization,
right.
we'd be able to create that sort of simulation, and that would be an experience that they would offer to their employees. But the cool thing is, because it's digital, it's mobile, it's
yeah.
on any device, it's anywhere, anytime, and again, very, very engaging. The people who participate in
right.
the simulations become very vested. So when you have a character who's your client or a peer or a
yeah.
colleague or a vendor, and your job is to, you know, solve for a
right.
certain problem, you get very vested
yeah.
with them and the you know the desire to please and
totally.
And solve it. So it's a very engaging, we call it a high impact learning environment, but because it's digital, because it's using AI, it's very scalable and very affordable.
Have you always been in the tech world?
Yes. Yes, my entire career.
Since you came out of the womb.
Actually, you know, and I don't consider myself a techie. So
oh, interesting.
I'm not the person who wants the newest gadget. Actually, I'm comfortable with something I know and familiar with. So it's
right.
not, I'm not a techie, and that's not why I'm in technology. When I was doing my master's in business in Toronto at Rotman, in 1987, I had a great professor, Dr. George Day, who, when I had was leaving, I was interviewing and had choices of going into sort of consumer packaged
right.
goods, or I could have gone and worked for technology company, and I had all of these choices in front of me. And he just said, you know what, Kathy, you're the type of person who needs to be in an environment that's extremely fast-paced, challenging, shifting and moving, and what you did yesterday is out of date the minute you like open your eyes the next morning. So technology, he says, what do you want to market? Do you want to market technology or like soup? No offense to anybody who works for Campbell's and is a marketing
yeah.
manager for them, but he really opened my eyes and quite frankly helped me see where I would be happiest
right.
in a fast pace, ever changing, trying to figure out. I'm not good at making something that exists better. I'm good at breaking down walls and building something completely new.
I love it.
Yeah.
And how do you overcome challenges? You said something really great, actually, before we started rolling. What was it that you said?
I was talking about, you said, how's your day going? You know, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. How's your day? I start working at 6 in the morning. So, you know, my day is going. But I kind of giggled because in the 5 hours since I've been awake and active and engaged, there's been 3 really great things that have happened and 2 really challenging things that have happened. And I just described it. This is what they don't tell you about being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
It is a roller coaster, but it's not like one up, one down once a week.
Yeah.
You have five or six or 10 of yeah. those in a day.
Totally.
And you have to learn to ride the wave.
Yeah.
You have to learn. One, you always have to be hopeful
yeah.
and positive.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Well, that's the Canadian in you.
You hire people around you that are like that too. You know, literally
yeah.
you have to hire the people with that kind of, you know, I'm not going to lament it. I'm going to move forward.
Right.
It's funny because when people ask, what are you reading now? Which is always sort of one of those conversations.
Right.
Like, what are you reading now? And it's, you know, I'm not reading business books. I'm reading books on mindfulness. I'm reading books
completely.
On how to be present. I'm reading books on how to really think about, like, make myself better.
It's so true.
I can do that. I will ride those
yeah.
waves. So it's with intent.
Yeah. I have a grounding almost ritual. It's, I definitely feel a difference. In the morning I journal, I have my gratitude journal. I also use the Headspace app to meditate.
Yep.
Just earlier today, we interviewed a wonderful woman in tech with a company called Mindset, which is headphones that help you, it studies your brain patterns, and so you could be more productive with mm-hmm. these headphones. But it's so true in this day and age, keeping ourselves grounded and just calm and just alert is difficult in our ADD culture.
Absolutely. And then forgiving yourself when you go off.
Yes.
Because
forgiveness
is huge.
You're never
going to be perfect. And forgiving others.
I
mean, that's, you know, not every... I think if you open up your heart
yeah.
to things,
yeah.
to yourself first,
yeah.
to everybody else yeah. around you, I think that's, you know, quite honestly, it's how you can ride.
Yeah. I'm really convinced.
Roller coaster.
I'm really convinced this is the Canadian in you. Are you
totally
yeah.
Canadian.
Yeah, 100%. I'm obsessed. Adam, our editor, knows I'm like obsessed with Canada, and I felt like when I crossed over customs, I was tempted to get out of the car and kiss the ground. My first entryway into Canada was a few years ago into Nova Scotia, and I just was convinced all of Canada was just like Nova Scotia. So I was like, I'm back. And I was waiting for the celebratory cheers and like entering in a bar with everybody singing. And then I get into Toronto and it's like New York City.
Not all of it.
But I love Canada. I think it's so great. And I love the kind of perspective you have to really lead with love and to be a leader that comes from a powerful place, but an all-inclusive, loving, understanding place.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I'm a tough nut,
yeah.
and you know, I answer to my shareholders.
Yeah.
I my shareholders, my customers, my staff. I put them up on the same sort of, you know,
right.
pedestal. Maybe different times, one of them's more important than the other, and I can be quite, you know, decisive
yeah.
and quite firm on things. And you know, we're not doing this, and we are
right.
doing this, and this is the reason why. And you know, I need everybody on side in that. But I think that so I don't want to make me
yeah.
to be some, you know, some perfect person. I think that.
Well, I thought you were perfect up until this
one. I've chosen this journey because yeah. I think it's highly complementary.
Yeah.
And honestly, you need your sleep at night.
Yeah.
You need to be able to control the things and affect the things you can
totally.
Affect. Because we absolutely create what we focus on. And if we're focusing on things that have happened or the past
yeah.
or negativity, then we're not moving forward. And,
totally.
And it is all about motion and momentum and keeping moving.
Totally. Now you're a CEO. Is this your first time CEO?
Yes, it is.
It is. And so what
has
that experience been like? What has been your role before becoming a CEO, and how has being a CEO, what's been the biggest challenge and what's been the biggest kind of like ease factor where you're like,
yeah.
oh, I didn't know that would be so easy.
That's a great question. So I started off in sales and marketing, and throughout my career in different companies in technology, I progressed to a senior vice president role.
Right.
And I was at BlackBerry at that time.
Wow. So
I spent 10 years at BlackBerry. It was one of the best experiences of my life. Learned a ton. And if you look at BlackBerry since, you know, things have changed
yeah.
with that business, there's so many people who went and started their own thing
right.
off of it. So because it was a culture of entrepreneurship, even when it was a $24 billion organization. So we all had it in us, because whatever you did at BlackBerry, you know, if there was a problem, you owned it. If there was an
yeah.
opportunity, you got
yeah.
the credit for it. And it was, you just ran with it.
Right.
So it was a great environment to foster that. I didn't have a great idea. My partner had a great idea. He didn't want to run the business. I've always wanted to do this.
Right.
So it was the perfect opportunity. You need a good idea. You need something that the market responds to.
Right, right.
To, you know, when I told you about what we do. So, you know, I've always wanted to do this. So I went in it absolutely open and willing and wanting to do it. The things that work well for me is my sort of entrepreneurial experiences at a company like BlackBerry, and an amazing support network of people who are behind you, right down to, you know, the investors who came in to back us, to everybody in my network around, and the network that you just continue to build.
Yeah.
You've just become part of my network.
Aww.
So that's what makes it great. I love the challenge of learning the things I didn't do, because when you're a startup, everybody wears a lot of hats. You can be the CEO, and that's great. And yeah, I raised the money, and yeah, I'll do this and do those sorts of things. But I'm also the finance lead, and so I have to do all of that. And as much as I can read a spreadsheet, I'm not used to actually, you know, managing that part of it with customers and paying customers and things like that. I do all of the legal work with our lawyers, and you know, there's that process. I'm the HR lead with hiring and bringing people
Amen
on
to that.
So there's like all of these other things, and that's, I love the learning. That's all great. When I think about, you know, what are the things that I find difficult? I'm impatient as a person, and I honestly, if I could send a message out to anybody listening to this, people need to support startups more in Canada. It's terrific that we have places like this, Workplace One, that, you know, entrepreneur is not a dirty word anymore. Oh, you couldn't get a job somewhere, so you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
It's totally changed. But when you're an entrepreneur and you're managing cash flow and you're working month to month, trying to manage your burn while you grow and, you know, get strategic and align yourself with partners and things like that, people who don't respond to you right away, it's really difficult. You know, are you in my funnel? Are you not in my funnel? How am I managing that? So I have a high degree of frustration because nobody's moving at my speed, and I'm not important in many people's remits.
Right.
So that's a challenge for me to overcome that and to, again, focus on the things I can control, let go of the things that I can't. And it all comes back to that.
Yeah.
I also work with, my partner is my husband.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to talk about something that they don't talk about in entrepreneurial school, working with your partner is a really challenging thing, particularly when you have different styles. So it's been, you know, a challenge, but we've both stepped up to understand what it is about the other person's style, what it is that, you know, makes them so great in that, and then how do we work better together to solve for the things that you have to solve?
Totally.
Because there's always things like that going
on.
So it's just been a growing experience. It's been wonderful. Everybody should do this. Everybody should do a startup.
There's three things I want to touch base on. One is, in your past, you talked about being an entrepreneur, and I think this is such an important concept that doesn't get discussed enough, being an entrepreneur within an organization, within a company. I'd like to talk about that, and then I'd like to talk about how to be a powerful leader, quite frankly, as a female, and not be interpreted as a jerk.
Or a B-I-T-C-H.
So I think it's a really important concept, because a lot of people, especially in the tech culture, they're, you know, the 9-to-5 is the bad guy for some reason. I don't really know why. I think as long as people feel fulfilled in their career, like that's the goal, is to feel really good about how you spend your time. So what does it mean to be an entrepreneur within your, in your organization? Because we have so many wonderful women in tech working for companies right now that are really desiring to be creative, but they don't know how to kind of step up because they're under someone else's umbrella.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with the culture of the organization. So if it's there, if the spirit is there and it exists, it's difficult to do it when it doesn't, because sometimes it's a lot of effort for not.
Right.
So it's about, I think the first thing is making sure, if that's what you want, and I encourage companies to be that way. And I think a lot of them are. This is, again, entrepreneur is not a bad way. You know, you've got this whole agile management. You've got this, everything's about disruption. Everything's about innovation. So there's an appetite for this.
Right.
I think what an individual can do is, they have a job to do in the job that they do, but they need to look beyond the job and the role and look at what's happening around it and look for opportunities.
Right.
And the opposite of an opportunity is a problem. So you look to solve something,
yeah,
or make something better, to drive efficiency, to improve performance,
right,
to do something like that. And just because you've done it is always the wrong reason to keep doing it.
Right.
If you do the work and it proves out that's still the best way to do it,
right,
great. But if you're not willing to look at things and not willing to say, how do we push this? So not accepting status quo,
yeah,
being open, looking beyond, you know, it's Monday, I do this, Tuesday, I do that, and looking at the bigger picture in the,
yeah,
in the context of the role, or even looking at, because if people have been in companies for a long time, they have a lot of capital, like a lot of knowledge that can be leveraged. And it doesn't even have to necessarily do with their own remit and their,
yeah,
own department. So it's just opening yourself up to looking and saying, you know, how could I make this better?
Yeah.
And then respecting the organization and however it works, just taking that step forward, like taking the initiative. I,
right,
love people,
right,
who take initiative. And you know, do I want them to do it and risk something in the,
right,
company? Like, I wouldn't want somebody to go out and hire four people that I didn't authorize in my startup. That would be a bad thing,
right,
right now. But somebody who says, you know what, we're not doing this and we're not documenting that, and I thought this would be a really good thing and we could use it for customers.
Right.
And I'm like, I love you.
Yeah.
So take initiative. The simple things, find a way to do it better, find a way to find some improvement, and that's where it all starts.
Totally.
And then once you're kind of blessed, you know, you do something and someone's like, wow, that was awesome, then you're on to a bigger and better thing.
Totally. And then how about the ultra sensitive question that comes up? How do we embrace being a powerful leader and not being interpreted as a BITCH?
I think I'm going to say a couple things on that, because, again, it really depends on the environment. I think organizations have come a long way in understanding and recognizing that diversity, and not just sexual diversity, but, you know, people's academic backgrounds, their work experience, their, you know, their ethnicity, like those,
yeah,
are valued. Like, diversity is a good thing. You,
yeah,
don't want three people sitting in a room discussing something and they all think the exact same way.
Right.
Because nobody's challenging,
right,
anything there. Nobody's looking at it sideways or,
totally,
different. So being a woman and being a woman leader, I think that one of the great things about women is that we're emotive creatures, and we tend to, if I can, you know, talk about things in terms of a sexual sort of, women are more this way than men, but that can make us great. This is emotional intelligence. So emotional intelligence isn't just recognizing somebody else's emotional state. It's about controlling your own.
Right.
And really, if you don't want to be construed as, you know, as that, then find ways to exercise and control that.
Right.
Because what makes us great can also take us down. So it's knowing when, you know, it's okay to do that, but really getting a handle,
yeah,
on your emotion. I think, and in those kinds of situations where there's conflict or something like that, is never taking things personally.
Right.
Like, there will always be goofy people who look at situations, make judgments, inappropriate ones, etc. Like, you can't take that baggage with you. So you've got to, you know, kind of let some of that stuff go. I think it's always being prepared. In my experience, I'm 56, so I've been in business a long time. Over 30 years now, and what I've always liked about being a woman in business is that I've had to know more,
yeah,
than everybody around me,
yeah,
so I'm always prepared.
Yeah.
I'm never not prepared for something. You anticipate,
right,
know,
right,
where things can go,
yeah,
so you're thoughtful about the people you're with.
Yeah.
You always put your best foot forward. You try not to, you know, be too female in a situation,
right,
but you stand firm and you stand strong. You listen, you pick your battles. Like, you really pick your battles, because some things you just need to let them go.
Yeah.
And when you screw up, own it. And people will, you know, get on. And if,
yeah,
they don't get on, then at least you can, you know, forgive yourself.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing your insight, your knowledge, your passion, your camaraderie with the women in tech community. This has been incredible. Is there any kind of... Oh, wait. I'm almost forgetting. How can people connect with you?
I was just going to say, I think the best thing about women, and again, I hate to kind of put people in boxes, but I love how women, when women get behind women, it's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
So I would like to extend to anybody in the audience to connect with me via LinkedIn, via email.
Oh, can you share it with everybody?
Sure. So my email address is cpillar, P-I-L-L-A-R, at Ametros Learning, AmetrosLearning.com. And or LinkedIn, you can find me, Kathy Pillar, on LinkedIn. And I would be happy to have a coffee if you're local, or have a conversation, or a Skype call if you're not. And if there's anything that I can do to help you at if you're at a point in your career, or if it's just I had a difficult situation, or I'm thinking about this, what should I do, or, you know, whatever. I have a big network, and mostly I have a big heart, and I would do anything to help my sisters out there in business.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm speechless. Like, I just thought that was so sweet. I hope you guys take it up, because having people support us in our journey. I remember when I was this is actually how the podcast kind of came to be. I was an 18-year-old entrepreneur, and I remember watching all the speakers on stage, and I really thought they were 100% there to support me in my success. And what I came to discover is that they really just wanted me, they wanted my new funding money, and they wanted, you know, to milk me and to take advantage of my execution rather to support me in accelerating my journey. And so to hear Kathy share so willingly and openly from a place of love that she just wants to be supportive of you and she expects nothing in return, I hope you guys take advantage of that amazing opportunity. And if you want to collaborate with more incredible women in tech, we have the Women in Tech Facebook group for you. I created the forwarding domain womenintechvip.com, so it goes straight there so you don't have to search for it. And you can say hello to the Women in Tech podcast via Women in Tech Show. So it's at Women in Tech Show on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. And I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring.
It would have been a nightmare to
drive
anything.
So
you're
going to get rid of like your apartment and just live in this car?
I mean, pretty much.
Right?
Yeah.
And now I know you can like have a slumber party in it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's,
I mean, are you
going to
sleep here?
Yes. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. I'm going to go get my pillow and like spread out.
Amazing. Yes.
Awesome. Thanks, Kia.
A huge thank you to Kia for powering this road trip series of the Women in Tech podcast.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.